Good to be with Bishop Geddes and all the ministry and all the people here that love God, teachers, whatever you are, doctors, lawyers, bankers, amen. Candlestick makers. It takes us all, doesn't it, to be what we are. We serve a great God, and He's here with us tonight. I don't have any plans as far as timing of how long or how short I'll stand here. But I do have God with me, and He's a God who instantly can make a difference in your life. We have God with us tonight. And if you came here tonight with a need, which you did, I did, we all did, I don't have to say if you came with a need. I can just say, since we have come with a need, because you can think of what you need, I can think of what I need. But we came to the right place. We came to the place where the need of your life can be met tonight. I know that. And what I want to talk about in the next few minutes will substantiate that, because the God we serve can do anything but fail. He is a healer. He's a miracle worker. He's a problem solver. He has the answers, and He is the answer no matter what you're faced with. And we know that, but sometimes we need to hear that again. We need to hear it again. We need to wake up in the morning and remind ourselves, God is my refuge and strength, a present help in the time of trouble. I'm glad that the Lord is on my side, because I have chosen to be on the side of God. Amen. Let's sing this together. There shall be light in the evening time. Sing it. A path to glory you will surely find. Through the waterway, it is a light today. Baptized in Jesus' name. Young and old, repent of all your sins. Then the Holy Ghost will enter in. Isn't that wonderful? The evening time has come. It's a fact that God and Christ are one. Sing it again. There shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory you will surely find. It's the waterway, it is the light today, baptized in Jesus' name. Young and old, repent of all your sin, then the Holy Ghost will enter in. The evening time has come. It's a fact that God and Christ are one. There are many places you can go tonight where you could say, I'm going to church, and it even says church on the sign, but they won't sing that song. That's not a song that a lot of assemblies will sing, because unfortunately, many have not learned who God is. Unfortunately, they don't understand that God and Christ are one, not two. They don't understand that we're living in a time when simple obedience, faith in the name of Jesus, repentance, simply obeying the Lord in water baptism, what grace, what mercy. God has made it so easy for us to enter into this wonderful kingdom where we can sing this song and be glad and joyful about it, and not enter into some kind of an argument or debate over theology. Amen. You'd get kicked out for singing that in some places. But it's an order here. We have a lot to be thankful for. I've been thinking the last several days about the people of God going through what we go through. And in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, we read a lot about the deliverance from Egyptian bondage and the wilderness experiences between deliverance and reaching the promise. I was thinking about how Moses stood before the one who seemingly had all the power and said, God said, let my people go. Amen. And the impossible situation that it was, Moses didn't feel when the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to do this. He didn't feel he was adequate to do the job. And we're not talking about 100 in Sunday school. We're not talking about 200 or 300 sitting on a pew. But we're talking about a couple of million people. 2 or 3 million people being made to work hard in an environment of sin. Being made to do things for the taskmakers. And if there was any sign of being idle or not, if they had time to think a little bit, it seemed, the Pharaoh would just give orders, make it harder for them. You know, don't make it easy. Make it more difficult. Sounds like some of the jobs we work on sometimes, doesn't it? But these dear people were the people of God. They were the people of God. And I want to read just a little bit here in the book of Psalms to look at them before we look at us. Amen. Amen. Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. This is where the presence of the Lord dwelt. He dwelt in his people. He dwelt with his people. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, ye little hills like lambs? Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. It's the same God we serve tonight. It's the same God. Now, Israel, the people of God, Judah, they were in bondage, and that's a type and shadow of what we are today. We live in a world, and what this world is for us is the same thing in a parallel sense as the wilderness was to the people of God in the book of Exodus. Amen. Here they are. Deliverance is promised. Deliverance is promised by the God that they serve. The man who has been visited by God had a message for the people. And he said it in such a way, Moses and Aaron presented it in such a way, that the people of God felt that they had really been visited again by the Lord. That the Lord had heard their cries, and the Lord would surely bring them out of the situation they were in. Then there were several days of things didn't seem to go just right. You ever been through that? After you know God has really given you a blessing. After you know the Lord has come your way, you've had a great time, God has really visited His people and showed you things are going to get better. It seemed like everything just got worse. You start feeling like, He's leading me out. He's leading me out. He's going to make a way for me. And that old enemy just gets real mean then. He really rises up. He really rises up. But I love to read, and I'm not going to go into all the details because it would take all night. But I love to read how this powerful leader tried to stand against the people of God. And how God just let him think that maybe things might be going his way. God never has to fight a battle with anybody. God always wins. He's the winner from the beginning to end, no matter what it looks like. He's able to make the situation turn out in your favor, even if it seems to you like there's no hope, there's no way. I'm up against it. Everything's going against me. But God said, let my people go. Everybody say, God said, let my people go. Are you one of God's people tonight? Are you one of God's people tonight? God said, let my people go. And then things got a little rough at times, and the Pharaoh would finally, you know, he'd give in and he'd say, okay, okay, but don't go far. Things are getting in a mess for me now. Don't go very far, but when you get out there a little ways, wherever you're going, whatever you're going to do, remember me, talk to God, because we got a mess on our hand here. But don't go far. Plead for me if you know. There comes a time when the devil would even like you to pray for him, because he's fighting a losing battle. I was visiting some lady not too far from here a few years ago who just absolutely went out of her mind. And when you start playing around with not knowing for sure if you want to live for God, you can lose your ability to think straight. And she was talking to me. Her husband had gotten tired, and he went into the back room and was snoring. We were sitting at the table, and I had another person with me. I like, when I get in these situations, I like to try to have somebody with me. So anyway, we were sitting at the kitchen table, and this person started growling kind of like a dog. And I'd heard her, you know, stand and talk about how God had brought her out and had made a difference in her life, and she started kind of growling. So I kind of scooted up close to her, and I said, hey, Margie, are you in there somewhere? I looked into her eyes trying to find her again. But I didn't go there to talk to a growling dog. But with this growling sound, I heard her say, the devil didn't get a good deal. God's not fair. God's not fair. He didn't give the devil a chance. Praise God. I told somebody the other day, God gave us a real good devil. He does his job well. He's a good devil. What I mean by that, he's a real bad devil. God knew what he was doing when he provided us old Slewfoot. But what God has for us is, it doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what his imps do. God is on the throne. The King of Kings is on the throne and has made some promises. There was another type and shadow that are a fulfillment of the type and shadow that was greater than Moses, that stood up 2,000 years ago and said, I'm still saying, let my people go. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, he was here and is here to guide us through whatever we have to go through to come out of our situation, no matter what it has or is. And sometimes it seems like the old boss is a devil. Or the old lady, I mean the wife is a devil. The husband is a devil. Because when you want to do something, and when you want to be free, and when you want to go somewhere for God, when you want to excel, and when you want to be free to really go and do things, if the boss doesn't do it, your mother-in-law will do it. If somebody there, where you are at school or on the job, doesn't rise up against you, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your daddy, your mother, your uncle, somebody's going to say, you can't go. You can't do it. But God said, let me go. But I'm saying you can't do it. I'm going to stand in your way. Hey, don't worry about it. Read what God does for his people. Let them try it. Let them stand in your way. Let them act like that they're going to get you if you try to follow God. It's all right, no matter what you find yourself wrapped up in. When God says, let my people go, God's going to deliver his people. Yeah, but the devil didn't get a fair deal. No, he ain't going to get a fair deal. They hadn't, there hasn't been, you know, I'm gonna write a new song someday, but I'm kind of waiting. I've had a lot of songs come to me in the night, and I've written these songs because of victories that God gives me along the way. But one of these days, I'd like to write the second stanza of "The Horse and His Rider Has Been Thrown into the Sea." Because the devil's going to get it. Hallelujah! Are you following what I'm trying to say? Now let's go to Psalm 107. 107th Psalm. Hallelujah. Amen. 107th Psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, this is written as a song by a group of people who have come from Egyptian bondage through the terrible situation of standing there and murmuring and complaining and wondering, what are we going to do? Wish to God we'd have died back there. It would have been better. At least we were able to eat. We were able to drink. We were able to feed ourselves. We were able to have strength. Here we are. We don't know what we're going to do. The enemy's on our back. This song was written years later. Oh, then they would praise the Lord. Because somebody along the way learned a lesson. It doesn't matter what's going on back there, what's going on around you, what you're facing, or how it feels. God is going to make a way in the wilderness. This world is a wilderness to the people of God. Hallelujah! But I read in the Word of God, when they were going through their wilderness, when they needed a drink and there was no water to be found, the Lord provided water coming forth from a rock. There have been many times that I've looked behind me and I found that rock, which is Christ, and I took myself a drink. It's better to go ahead and go to the rock and get a drink than it is to stand around thinking, I don't think I'm going to be able to get a drink. I'm thirsty. I'm out here with all these problems, everything in the world. Oh, that men would just praise the Lord for His mercy, for His goodness. He's not going to let you die in the wilderness. He's not going to let you die out there with all the things going on, the impossible. I got to thinking, 40 years. I've been in Norwich 18 years. I can't imagine walking around with people almost the size of New York City population. Millions of people walking around lost in a field in a hot desert. Wondering where we're going. In fact, one of the places they dwelt in and ran circles in is called the Wilderness of Sin. I've been there. Oh, I haven't been into Arabia, you know, I haven't been in the desert there. But I've been in the Wilderness of Sin. Hallelujah. They were out there in that hot desert. In that wilderness. But they had been delivered from the hand of the Pharaoh. They had been delivered through the miracles of God, only what God could do. The sea had opened up before them. And God had brought His people through to the other side. That wasn't the promised land, but it was on the way to the promised land. And you may be in the church today and you may be going through a few things. Let me tell you something, you're not there yet. We're on our way, but thank God. God has provided us something in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Food. When you wake up, you've got food to eat. You've got food to eat in the morning. Thank Him for His mercy. His mercy endures forever. Every morning His mercy is as new as the dew, as the early morning rising sun. His mercy is new like a new day dawning. Every morning you can start fresh and new, feasting on manna from heaven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Gather them out of the land, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then what did they do? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. They were on their way somewhere. Now they recall as they write the song and they sing the song. And they remember how God brought us through. God brought us out. God broke down those walls. God opened up that sea. God made a way for us to cross that river. God destroyed the enemy. God destroyed the unbelievers. God destroyed those that didn't understand and didn't want to understand and didn't want to follow God. But for 40 years, we were able to walk around on that hot desert sand. Never had to stop at Kmart and buy a pair of shoes. And some of you get all worried and sick when you can't get a new pair of shoes to go to conference. But look at God. He knows they can't go to the store to get a pair of shoes. Ain't no stores out there. It's a wilderness. No gas stations. No stores. No supermarkets. Some of you ladies would go nuts. No malls. 40 years. I've been in Norwich 18 years. I can't imagine walking on hot desert sand, not knowing where I'm going. 40 years. Because God did a miracle back there. I know He delivered me. I know He brought me out. I know He made a difference in my life. I know He did defeat my enemy. But what am I doing here? Let me tell you what you're doing here. You're drinking water supplied by the God that we serve. You're eating food that's supplied by the God we serve. While we travel through this world of sin, we got God with us. There's water to drink. There's food when we're hungry. Water when we're thirsty. And an enemy to be defeated on every hand. God doesn't want us just to go to church with victory all the time. He wants us to go to church sometimes, so that people can see our trial that we're going through. Next time you come with a victory, right now, there's a brother or sister needs to see you. You know, needs to see you sitting there. Needs to see you sitting there saying, I love God. Man, am I going through it? But I do love God. It's tough right now. Phone's been ringing all day long. I don't know how I'm going to face Monday. But thank God for Sunday. Hallelujah. We're going through. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know how. But you know what? Don't ever say, I don't see how we can make it. Don't go there. Don't ever say, oh, it looks like we're going down. Don't ever say, I wish I'd have just stayed in sin. No, don't do that. That'll get you in trouble with God. We don't want to get in trouble with God. If it hadn't been the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? So sometimes it's good to watch the squirming and watch the people with faith as they have been delivered and they know God is with them. Just don't know how it's going to turn out, but they're not going to turn loose of God. Amen. We got some more walking to do. I'm still walking with supernatural shoes. My clothes are staying on me somehow and not wearing out. Somehow I'm able to still get a drink every day when there's no water to be found. I just go to the rock. Somehow I'm able to get blessed regardless of what I'm going through. Amen. Amen. My grandpa preached for years and years and years. Something like 60 or 70 years. My dad, when I was a child, my dad was what he called a kid. My grandpa called Junior, my father, just a kid. And I'd sit sometimes, listen to them talk. Sometimes early in the morning, I'd hear my father challenge my grandfather on my mother's side to a debate about the scriptures. Of course, he was just having fun. One morning, I was real amused. Because I woke up to hearing these words. He was telling my grandpa that those people in the wilderness ate all those quails when they come. They had to leave their remain, you know, their doo-doo. He said, I'm trying to find a nice way to say what he said. He said, that's what they were eating, Paul. You know, and I was sitting back there. I said, no,
no, Daddy. And he was just having fun with my grandpa. But my grandfather, he had that old walking stick, and he hit that thing against the floor. He said, "No, Junior. Now, son, don't try to convince me of that." He said, but there's a little white substance on the ground. He said, all them quails, he said, don't you think it might have been a possibility? And I'd see my grandpa, he'd take that old walker and say, now, look, Junior. Now, look, Junior. You need to get in the Word of God. And he'd get him going. After a while, I'd see my grandpa get in the Bible, and he'd be shuffling, and he'd be looking, trying to find. After a while, he'd say, "Hey, I got you on that one, Junior." And he'd come up with something, he'd say, it was angel food. I remember he said, that was angel food. That says it in the Bible. God supplied them with angel food. Thank God we get something better than what I mentioned a while ago out here in the wilderness. Praise God. You don't have to eat the junk of this world. God is going to give you some good food here. Just keep on basking in the presence of the Lord. But he really get my granddad going. Let me just mention a couple of points here. I might have told you before. See, my grandfather, he spent all those years preaching on my mother's side. And I mentioned these stories. They're not stories. They're real happenings, but they sound like stories. Anyway, I mentioned these things before, I think, here, at least maybe around here. But anyway, he had this family. He had 12 children. They traveled around preaching revivals. 12. How would you like for a family, 14 people come stay at your house for 9 weeks to hold a revival? And they're broke. They were always broke. They didn't have any money. My grand, all they had was an old guitar that didn't have hardly any strings on it. Because nobody could afford to buy guitar strings. They played it anyhow. And they just travel around. When I was born, they were doing this. And, of course, he'd been doing this back in the 30s and the 40s. But when I was born, when I first caught a glimpse of what had been going on before I discovered America, I saw my grandfather drive up with all these people hanging onto a car. And on the back of it was a big old chicken coop. It was a cage where they put chickens. And I said, why do you carry that? Why you got that in the back of your car? He said, we're going to preach revival. He said, they don't have money, so they give us chickens. We kill the chickens, and then we eat. He said, they pay us in eggs and chickens. But he said one day they'd been traveling around preaching this gospel for years, and they all got tired, and they decided they'd settle down in Missouri for a while, and they went to rent a house. And this big family, it's hard to keep them going. A lot of times he said they'd just be after church out in the woods somewhere with a bunch of sticks and boards or logs they put together and a few lanterns hanging called a brush arbor. Said they didn't know where they were going to stay the night, so they would just stand around or somebody asked them to go home with them. He said, many times nobody asked. And they just lay down on those logs and sleep till the next service. But God gave them souls. Hallelujah. So they went up to Missouri to rent a house for a while and settle down. The first night they were there, God came to him and said, I want you to leave here and go to Arkansas. Well, everybody's excited. Here we are. Going to settle down. I want you to get up in the morning, take your family, go to Arkansas. I want you to meet a man carrying a chopping axe. And said he'll meet you. And God showed him the road, showed him the woods, showed him the field, showed him the man with the chopping axe, but he didn't tell him where it was. He just told him to get his family together, get in his car, and go. Well, the old car they had, had a leaky radiator. It had what they call boots on the tires. And it actually walked like it was walking on boots. The car went, it didn't roll. so they rode that bumpy car through the hills of Missouri into Arkansas. And all the way, the kids were complaining, "Paul, I thought we were going to settle down." Even Mama was complaining, "What's going on? Where are we going?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know." He woke them up early in the morning and said, "We got to go. God said go. Don't know where, but I'll know when I get there." How'd you like to live like that? Tell you the truth, you really do. Hallelujah. God has made us a promise we're going somewhere. Well, we're living by faith today. But He did tell us there's going to be somebody to meet us when we get there. Hallelujah. Said they drove and they drove and they drove. And said they came to a spot in the road and all of a sudden the motor went pow! And it overheated and there was steam went everywhere. And they said, "Now what we're going to do?" He said, "No problem. This is a spot God sent me to." He said, "Now look." He said, "See that field right there?" He said, "Watch. There's going to be a man come out of those woods with a chopper axe on his shoulder." And said, they all laughed. Said, "Oh, Paul. Paul, why you say that?" And all of a sudden, they saw a movement in those woods. The man in the field in the distance raised up his chopping axe and said, "Praise the Lord!" My granddad threw down his walking stick, the man threw down his chopping axe, and they ran and embraced in the middle of the field. And for about a year, those woods filled up with people receiving the Holy Ghost every night. Being baptized in Jesus' name every night. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God I serve. He'll meet you in the wilderness. He'll meet you in the impossible places of where you live. It doesn't matter how much you have, how much you don't have, how educated you are, how not educated you are. What matters is, are you in the crowd of people that are willing to get up and go when God said, "Let my people go"? Hallelujah. And always some kid in the crowd says, "I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know why we had to go this way." Hey, don't listen to them. Praise God. Praise God. But if we could just learn to praise the Lord. Amen. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry, thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. There's a lesson to be learned here. If you're going through it, like I said a while ago, some of us do come to church and the victory's not quite here yet. Although the victory is here, if you just hang on, just hang on. Because you might be crying tonight, but you'll be singing in the morning. Hallelujah. Right now, you may need to listen to somebody else say, "Thank God for the victory. Thank God for the hope. Thank God for the joy. Thank God that I see some things in what God has already done. Enough to make me convinced that in the morning when I wake up, I'm going to feast on the goodness of the Lord. Enough to make me be convinced that when I'm thirsty and I feel like everything's going dry, for me, there's still a fountain flowing and I can just turn around and just drink of it." Some of us need to hear you sing. Oh, I needed to hear that choir tonight. I was sitting there. I wasn't backslid. I wasn't dried up and I wasn't discouraged, but I was tired. I was tired. Not tired of living for God. Not tired of the Holy Ghost. But this old body, about the time I got here, I was ready to go to bed. Amen. If I talk long enough, some of you go to bed before I get through. When that choir started singing, joy bells started ringing. Hallelujah. Something about the clapping of the hands. And when I looked around, I saw that smile, and it was a real smile on those faces, like a glowing Holy Ghost light shining. Oh, thank God for the light. Thank God for the joy. There's something about, even if you're tired in body, just a little bit of an uplifting song. A little bit of joy shared by the brothers and sisters around you can make you feel a whole lot better. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Robert Bayer is a Bible quoting genius in my eyes. He knows the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation by memory. And there's a few people in the world that can do those things. And for some reason, he learned the Bible at an early age and could quote the whole Word of God. He doesn't do it for show. You can ask him to do it, and he won't do it. But when he preaches, Lord have mercy, he never misses a word. And anyway, I was trying to pastor a church in Dawson Creek, British Columbia. And Brother Bayer came to hold us a revival. And while we were there, we had, after a couple of weeks, a rest night announced. And a minister way up in Whitehorse, Yukon, had decided he'd like to have us on our nights of rest to come up and minister at his church. Now, that's way up north. Way up north, on the Alaska Highway, close to Alaska. Close to the North Pole. It was 60 below zero there when we were there. But he bought us an airplane ticket and said, come, and we went. And we had a marvelous time. Great things happened. But on the way, making preparations to go to the airport on Monday morning to fly back to Dawson Creek, which is 1,000 miles away, Brother Bayer, this genius friend of mine, said, man, I'd like to drive that Alaska Highway. It was February, mind you. If we could just get our hands on a vehicle, I'd like to just drive that Alaska Highway to see the sights along the way. Now, you know, when preachers get together sometimes after church, they talk all night. At 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, he was still saying, with all of us sitting around, wouldn't it be great if we could just drive that Alaska Highway? When the sun came up, man, I wish we could just drive. Finally, Brother Langston, the preacher that we were there to minister with, the pastor said, well, I have a vehicle you can use. And he had this little Toyota Land Rover with some kind of a little vinyl, plastic, almost nothing covering. 60 below zero, 8 feet of snow everywhere. And he said, you can take that. At 7 o'clock on Monday morning, I was looking, thinking, we're idiots. They were putting big old barrels of gasoline on the front of it, tying them on the front. And I heard Brother Langston say, now, at this time of year, on the Alaska Highway, you may not meet over 5 or 6 vehicles in a day. But he said, the Greyhound bus always travels. Sometime during the day, you'll meet a Greyhound, and you'll meet a snowplow. But he said, if you get stranded, start burning things. He said, the tires will burn. I'm standing there listening to this. He said, you won't find a service station sometimes for 200 miles or more. There are no power lines and there are no cities where you can stop and rest. And it's cold out there. Well, Brother Bear said, this is going to be exciting. Let's go, Ronald, hurry up. Well, we got Brother Langston gave us a big old bag of food with bottles of drinks and things. We got in the little Toyota and took off, and it started snowing. And it didn't just snow outside. It was snowing right through the automobile. And we were wearing snowmobile suits. And it was coming right through the little cracks and just covered us with snow. And we were just driving along there. I looked at Brother Barry, and he looked like a snowman. Then between us, I heard this boom. I thought, what in the world? Boom again. And I mean, we'd just gotten a few miles out of town and those bottles had frozen and were blowing up in that bag right there in the seat beside me. And we would just get started, had 1,000 miles to go, been up all night. And I looked over Brother Bear and he was going, here I am driving. No food to eat. I'm cold, tired. Got 1,000 miles to go. And if we get stranded, we got to burn the tires, burn the seats. He even gave us the matches to start the fire. And you can get yourself in a mess sometimes in the work of God. After we went about 100 miles, I was going, you ever been there? But you don't dare stop. Brother Bear was still going. I said, wake up, Brother Bear. He said, what do you want? I said, I need you to drive. He said, I'm too tired. He went back to sleep. I even started going. No radio to listen to. It's a bad situation when you're wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way. I can relate a little bit, only it wasn't a hot desert. It was cold out there. It's cold. We got to this little, looked like an Indian everything store, but it was just a shack, but it had a gas pump. And we stopped, and they had told us that no matter how much gas you have, fill up every time you get an opportunity. And we did. We filled it up. And I said, Brother Bear, you've got to drive. And I went over to sit down and go to sleep, and I just laid my head back. He went about 5 miles. He said, I can't do it, Rutledge. He said, I'm dozing. You got to drive. Hundreds of miles. I drove that cold Alaska highway in February listening to him snore. I know we're not supposed to be envious, but I started wishing I could snore. Couldn't stop. Half asleep. Going down that highway. Wishing I wasn't there. Wondering why I'm there. I had this airplane ticket in my pocket I wasn't going to use. Could have been already home. Here I am freezing to death. Driving with a snoring maniac next to me. Here I am paying him to preach me a revival. And he got me into this mess. And I was complaining, I was murmuring, I was mad. About the time I was thinking, man, what a mess we're in. Here comes a snowplow meeting us. On my side of the road. And I had to turn my steering wheel. And that little old Toyota just turned over. The wheels were spinning and I was holding on best I could, and Brother Bear said, don't turn loose! Don't turn loose! And I said, you got us into this. He said, no, it was your idea. I said, you got us into this. Now look at us. We're in a turned over. Toyota, I have a good mind, turn loose and just fall on you. He said, don't turn loose. We had to climb out on my side. Here's this Indian guy sitting on the plow. I walked up to him. I said, could you help us? He said. Couldn't talk. I said, can you help us? You talk about situation. Impossible. I had these big old gloves on. I didn't want to take them off. But there's a time you do what you don't want to do. There was a great big old chain on the front of that snowplow. I said to that man, can I get the chain and try to get this vehicle back on its wheels? It was laying over the side against the snowbank. And there's no way Brother Bear and I could do it ourselves. And I said, can we get your chain? He said, I took my gloves off. You know what it's like to go into your refrigerator late at night. You're hungry and you need some ice. And you reach up and get that ice tray and your hand stick to it. When I grabbed a hold of that chain, my hand went. My nostrils, you know. When I breathe, they go. I could feel them cracking. When you breathe, you see the ice crystals go right out of your mouth, just float. We're in a mess. I said, brother, look what you got us into. How many of you would like to preach a revival on the Alaska Highway in February? But anyway, we pull that vehicle back up on its wheels, and somehow, I don't know how, but because I thought even though we do it, you know, the gas is all sloshed around, the motor's probably messed up, it won't start. But as soon as I turned on the ignition, it started right up. And I said, Brother Bear, you've got to drive. He said, I'm sorry, I'm tired. Here we went. Me driving, him snoring. Me driving, him snoring. And finally, I said, late at night, midnight, we found another little store. Came to these people and they said, where are you people going? I said, Dawson Creek. They said, well, that's about 500 miles from here. I said, but you can't leave here. There's nothing else open. And so you'll get stranded and you'll freeze to death, so we can't let you go. And I said, well, where are we going to stay? They said, there's no place to stay. There's a crowd of people standing there. No place to stay, no place to go. That's a bad predicament to be in. I get like that every once in a while. I feel like I don't belong here and ain't no place to go. Hallelujah. Make a long story short. We were standing there when the Canadian said, so what do you people do? Brother Bear said, we're preachers of the gospel. Standing there in his snowmobile suit. He said, what kind of preacher? He said, Pentecostal. Oh, he said, I know a Pentecostal preacher. I'll call him. So he called some guy late at night, an Assembly of God preacher, and said, we got a couple of crazy preachers here. Said, they get here at midnight and they can't leave and they can't stay. What do you want to do? And so the preacher said, you know what to do. He said, let me have the phone. He handed me the phone. He said, so you're a Pentecostal preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, so am I. He said, they'll tell you where to go. Come by my house. I'll meet you at the door. Pick up the keys to my church. Y'all can sleep in the church. And leave the keys there in the morning. And I'll pick them up later in the day. I said, okay. Guy never even saw us. I'm going to tell you. That's one night I slept in a church and I really enjoyed it. Hallelujah. 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 Would you stand with me just a moment? The bottom line of all this is tonight, I don't care what kind of wilderness you find yourself in, we're in a wilderness in this world. But something better than Moses has come and said, let my people go. And there's something there that's trying to keep it from happening. But he can't stop you. I don't care how he's on your trail, how he's a wall in front of you, how he's a giant, how it seems like you can't get through, how his enemies may be enemy forces encamped around you. The God we serve will deliver you. And you may be in the church tonight needing to hear an encouraging word. And you may not quite see the victory that you want to see yet. But some of us have seen it and we're seeing it now. So just hang on a little while. Your time to testify is coming. Praise God. Maybe the next service. One thing we'd like to be able to see is in this wilderness, somebody that comes back after a trying experience says, I did get a hold of that water, and I did get a taste of that food, and now I found the strength that I was looking for, and everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, we get in a mess sometimes, but we got a God who always is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my people go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know why I talked about all this tonight. I just know that there's a wilderness here in this old world, and we're walking through it. But God has given us new shoes, and they don't wear out. I'm not talking about those shoes that you bought at the store. He's given us new shoes. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
He's given us clothes. Hallelujah. They will endure the storms. Will endure the testing times. He's robed us in His righteousness. He has beautified the meek with salvation. Hallelujah. Now while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, let me ask you a question. So how are you doing? How are you doing in this wilderness? Amen. Do you realize that Christ is here? And all you need can be found in Christ. Do you realize that the Deliverer never loses a battle and there's never a situation too tough for God? Hallelujah. Here you are. But where are you? Are you feasting tonight or are you too busy in your thoughts? But you don't know what all I'm thinking and what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We haven't been through anything any worse than some people in times past. One writer said there's nothing new. Nothing new. Everything's vanity and vexation of spirit. You might as well get a hold of God with all your heart. There's nothing really else to do. Serve God. Keep His commandments. Amen. But don't be one of those that goes into the complaining mode and the murmuring mode. And the wish I'd been left alone attitude. Hey, when things look tough and your preacher has to be strong, stand and see the salvation of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And tonight there might be somebody here that just needed to hear this encouraging word. Let me remind you that the water you've already tasted is still here. Amen. And that which you're feasting on, the goodness of God, the Word of God, is still here. And the church in Newington is as big as it gets. I told the bishop sometime earlier tonight, and we weren't talking about this church, we were talking about general church everywhere. But I said, you know, a lot of people are all caught up in numbers. How many did you have on Sunday? How many did you have? God's got a church. He's not really concerned about how many people we've got. We just want to make sure that we know that God is with us. The people come and go. Oh, it's good to have a crowd. But sometimes a lot of the crowd ain't what you really want. Praise God. But there's some people here that's hanging on. You're hanging on. One of these days, somebody in this place is going to have a testimony. I saw it and I believed it and now I'm standing on it. The promised land. Amen. God, I'm asking tonight if there be a soul here, discouraged or down or in some kind of a feeling of despair, that you'd let that glorious light that we were singing about tonight shine again in this pathway. Let your pillar a fire be noticed again. Hallelujah. Lord, let your presence be made known to this individual. Let this person know again, you're in the right company, you're in the right place at the right time. Yes, the world is a wilderness, but you're a part of the people of God being delivered on your way to the promised land. Hallelujah. Jesus, help this individual or these individuals to be encouraged, to look up and to realize it's the Lord that's with us. He's not going to leave us sitting somewhere out in the wilderness without an answer or a solution to get us on down the road. Hallelujah. Way gets hard sometimes, but He's going to meet us somehow. He's going to supply the need. He's going to give you rest. And if you're that person that needed to hear this tonight, would you come? Come to the front. Come to the front. Let us pray. Let us pray. If it be permissible, would you come? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to hear somebody with encouraging words. Hey, look where the Lord has brought us. Look what God has done for His people. That same God is here tonight. He's going to take us on ahead. Going to take us on down the road. Amen. You may not be able to tell about the man that met you in the woods with the chopping axe. But what you have to talk about will be just as great as that. God is going to take you somewhere. God is going to supply your need. God's going to answer your prayers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Got a lot to be thankful for. A good church to go to. A great pastor to listen to. Saints, brothers and sisters to fellowship with. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Got a lot to be thankful for. Look where the Lord has brought us. My goodness. Hallelujah. So what did they do? What did they do when they got to that point in their life and they were thirsty and hungry? The Word of God says, then they cried to the Lord. They cried to the Lord. And He delivered them from all their afflictions. And I'm telling you, that's the same God that's here tonight. While you're standing here, it wasn't just one, it wasn't just two, but practically the whole congregation said, I needed to hear this. Well, I'll tell you what to do, Israel of God. I'll tell you what to do, old Jacob. God has brought us through mighty things. God has made a way in the wilderness. Here you stand again. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow God will do wonders among you. Cry unto the Lord, O you people of God. He delivers us still. Hallelujah! He is still a way maker. Cry unto the Lord. What's the problem? Cancer? Call on the Lord. What is your need? Heart problem? Call on the Lord. Finances? Call on the name of the Lord. Family problem? Call on the name of the Lord. Discouragement? Cry out to your God. Cry out to your God. Hallelujah. Confused mind? Cry out to your God tonight. Hallelujah. He will deliver you again. He is a way maker. He is a problem solver. Hallelujah. Cry unto the Lord. Oh, you people of God, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us. It is He that has called us out. It is He that has made a way in the wilderness. Hallelujah! I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. I cried to my God, and He delivered me. Hallelujah! 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 Water when I'm thirsty. Bread when I'm hungry. Fountain opened up in the house of David. Holy Ghost power. My God. My God. My God. Hallelujah. 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 If you came here tonight with a problem facing you tomorrow, why don't you face that problem tomorrow? You don't have to be on the defensive. Be on the offensive. You and the God you serve has every need of your life already under control. There is nothing that God can't take you through and keep you shining, keep you shouting, keep you rejoicing. Nothing. I know we get entangled with a lot of things. There's a lot of little things that can be annoying in the wilderness. We're not in the church building all the time. We're not just with the saints of God all the time, but thank God. Once in a while we camp out together. Once in a while we warm our feet by the campfire. Once in a while we get together. Hallelujah. We remind ourselves in singing testimonies and preaching. God is here. God is able. God is making a way. Hallelujah. 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 Just want to mention, last Sunday night, God moved upon us in a mighty way. And we started talking about the healing. And I shared with the people how that I remember those times. Sometimes we need to remind you, God
has healed, so we can remember to have faith that He can heal and will heal. And I remember that lady who came to church with that built-up shoe. You know, it's about 6 inches tall, her shoe, because she had a short leg. And she came walking up that aisle with that big, thick heel and sole on her foot, walking pretty normal because the doctor had been able to work with her with that shoe. And she just, in a simple, ordinary church service, asked that God would make her legs normal so that she could walk without that built-up shoe. And I remember my father just said, "In Jesus' name, according to your faith, be made whole." And she started to walk back down the aisle, but the shoe caused her, when she would take a step, she would go up. Something had happened. When she came down the aisle, I saw this in my eyes. When she came down the aisle, she was walking pretty straight with that big, thick shoe sole. But when she, after prayer, started to walk back, she couldn't walk straight. Because now, the shoe was too thick. The sole was too big. So she had to take her shoe off. And she took both shoes off and went hopping and skipping down the aisle. And she'd been all right ever since. That's the God we're serving tonight. If you can believe that God can do that kind of a miracle, I don't care what it is, God can do something for you right now. We were talking about this Sunday night, some of these things that we have seen, about the man that came in with a cancer on his face. He had a cancer on his face. He said, "I've had this cancer 12 years. 12 years this cancer's been eating me up, and now it's starting to get worse." But he said, "Folks, pray with me now." He said, "God just told me, as I have believed God tonight, that I will return next Wednesday night." And this was a Wednesday. He said, "I'll come walking into this church next Wednesday, and this cancer will be gone." I was there on that following Wednesday night when the man came walking through the door with a face like a baby. Hallelujah. With a testimony. When I left the service that night, woke up the next morning, it was drying up. It was going away like an ordinary sore. I was there.